Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my man, last time out we saw this this Buffs team just absolutely, especially in that second half, they just completely dominated the Colorado State Rams.
Yeah, you know, if you go back to that one, Brady, and you go to the four-minute timeout, I think it was like 3 minutes and, I don't know, 42 seconds or something, it was tied at 28 at the four-minute timeout first half. And from that point on, Colorado had scored the Rams, if memory serves, it's been a while now, but I think it was 65-37 over the next, you know, whatever that is, 20, almost 26 minutes, I guess. And so, yeah, played some very good basketball. And there, how many times have we talked about it? I mean, that stretch for Colorado, the game against Tennessee, the game against Texas A&M, that's what the Buffaloes are capable of when they play like they can play. The issue becomes, okay, guys, you did a great job. Now you've got North Alabama coming up tomorrow night. You going to play that way, or are you going to play like Murray State? You know, that there in lies the issue with Colorado right now.
Well, and, you know, later in that second half, Mark, the crowd just for some random reason went nuts for Tad Boyle. I don't know. Deion Sanders walked in, I guess. The crowd went
Was
that for Tad?
I stood up during a commercial break at my broadcast location. They started cheering for me, I think.
Well, it's probably because they were listening, you know, on their phones, and they heard Wolverine Blood mentioned at some point. And they nailed it.
I said it for you.
I was so proud, man. I felt like I was a part of the broadcast, even though I wasn't. It made me feel like I was a part of it. So before we wrap up here today, I got to give you another word for tomorrow night, and we'll see. We'll see if you can keep it going.
All right. Sounds good.
Angel, brainstorm a word. Think of a word and shoot it over to me, and we'll get something cool. We'll keep it. We'll try to make it make sense.
Be nice.
Mark, so let's talk about the environment. How, on a scale, you know, comparing how loud that place has been before, obviously there's been some epic basketball games there and huge moments there, but primetime walks in and it's just nuts. Where does that rank as far as the loudometer, as far as what you heard on over the weekend?
Well, you think of, you know, some of the great moments that I've spent in the event center, you know, with the Skia Booker's game winner against Kansas. And knocking off, you know, a top five team in Arizona a couple of times, and Arizona State, and UCLA, and yeah, it's going to rank right up there. But you know, as I've said every time, and I just got back late last night. By the way, that was fun driving through that storm last night, coming back from Kansas. By the way,
oh wow,
that was good. I had to take a detour because they shut down I-70. I think I went through you know, Guadalajara or something on the way home. I mean, I think it was in South America. I went so far south, but I eventually got back. Right over. 11 hours. It's supposed to be a six-hour drive. It took me 11 hours. But, yeah, I've said it so many times. I mean, it's just silly, the crazy, emotional, energetic impact that we're seeing from, you know, Deion Sanders and Coach Prime. And when he walked in that night, you know, we were told it was going to be at halftime. They were going to introduce him. And so I'm on the air saying it's going to happen. Then it didn't happen. And I don't know what happened behind the scenes. But eventually when he came in during that first, I guess that would have been a 16-minute timeout of the second half. I mean, yeah, it was just ridiculous. But you know what? That's what happens when Coach Prime walks in the building. And so, you know, I joked on the air, too. I said, you know, back in the 70s, your older listeners may remember this, that at Elvis Presley concerts, when the show was over, they would hang around. They wouldn't leave. They were hoping to see Elvis at some point in time. And so they would literally get on the PA in those buildings and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building." Okay, we got to go. And so I said, "How I feel right now, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Prime is leaving the building." You know, it was one of those kind of deals.
And it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's just absolutely a crazy move that we're all talking about throughout the country. Well, and this is why. This is a reason right here. You got a four-star running back that committed to Notre Dame, Mark, and then he since pulled that. Now he's committing to CU. So those that have any problems with the way Deion does his business, look at that right there. It's about attracting stud athletes to your program.
You look around, and I've got to be very careful. I can't talk about any specific athlete, but you're seeing the same reports that I am, where guys are committed to, you know, pick your school across the country, Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, Notre Dame, you know, you name them out there. And they've been committed for a while, and all of a sudden, Coach Prime makes a phone call. The kid decides, you know what, Maybe I should think about this, and you know, maybe some haven't decommitted, but they certainly have said I'm willing to take a. What did I see? I saw one this morning. I'm trying to remember what schools he was on his way to visit. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to remember. It was top school. It was like going to an Ohio State type deal is where this young man was going, and he just announced that this weekend he decided not to make the trip there. Mm. He's coming to Boulder. And so you're seeing that kind of stuff all over the place. And like I said, just go on Twitter and start following some of the guys that really follow recruiting. I don't. But follow them, and you're going to see all the names that are popping up, and everyone's rolling in. And then the coaches that he's brought in, where they came from, their better players are jumping in the portal, and all of a sudden they're on visits now either last weekend or this weekend. And so, yeah, it really is kind of special. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen. What is the early signing date? Is it December 21st, I think?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I'm excited to see what that's going to look like here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's just – signing day is always weird for me, Mark, because, again, you're kind of excited, but I couldn't be you'd be better at this. I couldn't tell you if these guys are going to work out. It's like draft. You know, it's like the NFL draft or NBA draft. It's like, yeah, I think they will work out, but I don't know. But in this case, yeah, we all want to see the stars next to those names and who's committing to the University of Colorado. So it is kind of suddenly, at least for me, must-see television or must-see reports, whatever.
Well, there's no doubt. What it is, it's the anticipation, right? But what is that? Let's see. There's a destination disorder. There's a disorder that some people have where they're always looking across the horizon. What's best or what's going to be fun or everything's going to improve or I'm going to feel great down the road on the horizon, right? And it's a little bit of destination disorder with recruiting day. Because what we do as fans of a program, we look at this array of new athletes that they lay out in front of us, and we see the highlight videos of, you know, that 6'6", 285-pound defensive lineman playing against the, you know, 6'1", 187-pound tackle that he played against in high school. And he's just beating him to death out there. And we're like, holy cow, we're getting Lawrence Taylor. I'm telling you, he's like Lawrence Taylor.
Wow.
Crazy, and we're so optimistic about it, which is great. That's part of being a fan. But the great Joe Tiller, God rest his soul, who once told me when I was at Purdue, I'm a young reporter, and he'd been at Wyoming, he comes to Purdue, and I said to him, I said, Coach, very naively, I said, Coach, are you excited about this recruiting class? And he looked at me, and he said, young man, you're going to learn, okay? Every coach is excited about his recruiting class. Now, here's the reality. When they get to campus in August, he said, they all shrink 2 inches and gain 2/10 in their 40 times. So he said, you're aware of what happens there. But, you know, with that being said, we're all excited about it. And, you know, one thing I've always done, Brady, from a recruiting standpoint when I watch it, I always look and say, okay, who's recruiting this guy? We got Tommy Smith sitting out here. Now, there was a bad stretch in Colorado football where every time Colorado would get a guy, they beat out North Texas and East Screen Door U and you know, Bob's Bicycle Shop Education Center and those kind of things. They go, come on, man. You know what? It doesn't guarantee it, but when you're beating out, the kid had offers from Alabama and Tennessee and USC and Texas and, you know, in Ohio State, and you get him, you go, well, okay, nothing is guaranteed, but at least everybody thinks they see something in this kid. And that's the thing we're seeing with the Deion Sanders thing right now, all the reports that are coming out, and we'll see if they're true on December 21st. But the guys that he's apparently getting commitments from were very popular around the country.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing it. It's crazy. Twitter is, it's crazy anyway. And then when you add the primetime factor into it, it's reached new heights of craziness, but very entertaining. And that's, you know, that's what Deion Sanders was all about, was building up that brand. So he's entertaining, but he's so attractive to all of these student athletes that are like, man, that's a place I want to go. Even if the spotlight's shining on him, if I stand close enough, some of that spotlight is going to be on me too. So it's going to be a crazy ride. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Buffs. Mark, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on Mike Leach. Of course, you know, we spent a lot of time in the Pac-12 with Washington State. I love the way he explained football, because extremely smart, but he would explain it in ways that I'm like, oh, that's it. That's it. That's amazing. So I love that. Obviously, all of his Leachisms and everything were so entertaining. But I wanted to get your thoughts and any, you know, any experiences that you had with Coach.
Well, not only did I cross paths with him at Washington State, the Pac-12, but when he was at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
In the Big 12 as well. And so I had a number of, you know, a handful of moments in chatting with Mike Leach. And, you know, very rarely When you think of all human beings, very rarely is there somebody. Is there somebody that is exceptionally unique and an original, right? That's a rare thing to meet somebody and you think, I'm not sure there's anybody else like him anywhere. Mike Leach was one of those guys. I mean, think about it. He had a law degree. He had a master's degree. He really was very intellectual. If you ever sat down and talked with him, he was a brilliant, deep-thinking guy. But then he'd get off on talking about what his favorite, you know, Halloween candy was, or he wants to ask about, you know, what he thought was the best mascot, the toughest mascot in the Pac-12. And one time they asked, okay, if all the coaches in the Pac-12 had a fight, who's going to win, right? I mean, and so he just loved to have some fun. There was a joy of life about him. And then on top of the fact, you throw the fact that he was a football savant.
Yeah.
I mean, was unbelievably creative. Very few people really alter the game. We like to talk about football coaches as if they're some sort of, you know, Mensa candidates. That's not really true, okay? Everyone's doing essentially the same thing. But every once in a while, somebody comes along and they do something very different. They do totally change the game. Bill Walsh did that with the West Coast offense, okay? He did something very unique there. Well, Mike Leach came along with that air raid offense and really altered the game, and those principles are being used everywhere. And so, you know, there's just so many things about him that I always found fascinating, enjoyed being around him, enjoyed talking with him. And so, yeah, it's a big loss. Simply, I always say, I'm in the interesting business. I love interesting people, and you don't find many people more interesting than Mike Leach.
I'm with you 100%. You know, I always say on this show, I like to talk X's and O's. I like to talk sports and the games, but it is so much more fun if you get to talk about personalities and have fun with coaches. You bring them on, and it's more than just, you know, we played well, we want to play better next week. You know, you got so much, and that's the best part of sports to me, is these guys build their reputation by being good at it and coaching and whatever, but then they add that personality to it that makes it so entertaining for everybody else.
Well, Brady, we live in a world right now where everything's homogenized, right? I mean, nobody wants to offend anybody. They want to be very humble, and so everyone kind of fits. All these coaches are very, very corporate, and they fit into a unique box. Now, Deion Sanders is very different than that. I mean, he's unique, but Mike Leach was unique, right? Mike Leach, Deion Sanders, as we talked about, he's a celebrity who coaches. Mike Leach has been a coach his whole real life. I mean, that's what he was. That's what he did. And I think there's something unbelievably fascinating about that. I'm sure you probably saw that story account from Lincoln Riley about the wrong number that Mike Leach got. You know, you didn't hear about that one?
Yeah, no.
In a quick nutshell.
Yeah, okay.
Lincoln Riley's with them. Mike Leach picks up his cell phone, starts talking to somebody. Lengthy conversation goes on for a bit. Obviously, he goes, hello. Oh, phone dropped off. So he's got a flip phone at the time. He shuts it, opens it, redials the number, calls them back. They talk for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was. And in the middle of something the coaches are supposed to be doing, and so he finally hangs up. All right, yeah, we'll talk to you. Bye. And hangs up, and Lincoln Riley says, Coach, who was that? And he goes, I don't know, it was the wrong number. Serious. But Mike Leach was one of those guys. He would bump into a stranger and have an hour-long conversation with him because he was just interested in people, and that's kind of what you like about the guy. You know, he was eccentric in some respects. He was curious in other respects. And he was brilliant in other respects. And so that's why I was such a fascinating guy in our business.
I was talking about this yesterday or the day before that, too. Just recently, a reporter's asking him about coffee, you know, and he just is like, he goes into this great detail as to why he doesn't like coffee. He doesn't enjoy coffee. He drinks it because of the effect. And I was thinking, I'm like, dude, he's just saying everything that we think about on a daily basis. Like, coffee's not actually a delicious drink. You mix it with a bunch of other crap, then maybe, but it's not really good. And I'm just like, you know what, on this guy, he just says it, man. I mean, and I'm always like, I don't like coffee either, but I drink it. But he comes out and he just says it, and I loved it so much, and I am going to miss those. And I'm glad that people are filling social media with those as well. I was watching him just explain, you know, a double slot offense and part of the air raid and how lining up two receivers in the slot and then a running back off to the right. Like, I'm just watching that mesmerized. That was back when he was with OU, and it's like, he makes it seem so easy to me. And I'm like, that took years to craft, but he's explaining it to me like it's the easiest thing in the world.
Well, I think that's the thing I always say about football coaches. They make it sound very hard. They make it sound like they're splitting the atom, you know, conducting brain surgery. And I've always said, it really is not that difficult a game. I've had some coaches, when I've made those comments, get angry with me like I'm insulting them somehow. Mike Leach was one of those guys that when he talked about it, he kind of showed you behind the curtain like, yeah, it's not that big a deal. We just put two guys in a slot, and here's why. Because it moves that guy, and it makes that guy cover here, and it leaves this open over here. And you go, oh, well, that's pretty simple stuff. And it really is, actually. You know, it's always over complicated, I think, when you hear coaches talk about it. You know, they talk about their cloud formation, and we got, you know, oh, stop it, please. Right?
Yeah.
You got this guy covering that guy. If you do this with this guy, that guy's got to move, which makes the spot open over there. And that's the way Mike Leach talked about things. He made it very, very simplistic. He actually showed us, you know, this really isn't difficult. It's just, it's nothing more than playing a game of Tetris when you think about it, right? You want to make sure that we're moving the pieces in the right position. That's all it is.
Finding space, right?
Yep.
Leach always sounded like a basketball coach to me, because it always seemed like, Mark, the basketball coaches were more willing to open up and just own it, that they're not like, this isn't rocket science, it's sports. But he kind of sounded like that, and in the way he just said, hey dude, it's about finding space, it's getting a guy open.
Exactly right. Let me find a way to get one of my athletic guys the football where they ain't, right?
That's simple as it. I think if this primetime thing doesn't work out, Mark, you and me, man, we could take over. We could coach this thing. Space. It's all about space.
It's not that hard.
We could do amazing things. Mark Johnson, appreciate you as always, my friend. Looking forward to that call tomorrow. I know we didn't talk about it much, but we did talk to Dalen Kuntz. You remember him well. Talking about UNC and CU coming up on Sunday. This Bears team, kind of pesky, man. They took down Colorado State a couple of weeks ago, and I'm excited for the test for this Bears basketball team.
And Dalen was always an incredibly athletic player, and I love the way he's developed. And I think found a very good situation there in Greeley at UNC for him. And he's turned into a heck of a player, and he's going to have an opportunity to play at the next level as well.
Yeah, a great young guy, too. Mark, appreciate you as always. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, see you, buddy.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. 22 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. I'll hit the lunch rush, and then I'm out. Angels taking over. You're going to Bill Murray this thing in Space Jam. You're the guy. You got a good couple of passes in you. I can feel it. I'm excited for it.
Only takes one assist to win a game.
That's all it takes, my friend, assuming you're close. 23 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. I'm almost done here, and then I'm going to hand it off to Angel, but I'll bust through the lunch rush here. Top stories trending nationally in the sports world. The NBA and the CBA, they're trying to figure this out before June. Now, the NBA and its players union have agreed to extend the deadline to give notice of plans to opt out of the collective bargaining agreement to February 8th, the sides announced in a joint statement on Wednesday. Now the decision's going to go to the season's trade deadline. The league and the union said in their statement that they're making ongoing efforts to reach a new agreement. The seven-year CBA would expire after the 2023-2024 season, but if either side exercises the opt-out, the agreement would end June 30th, putting the NBA at a risk of a possible work stoppage. You can't do this. You have to figure it out. I don't care how. You just went through 2020. You just went through the COVID year where you were desperate to get games, and now perhaps you're in jeopardy of having a work stoppage. It's unacceptable. They have to figure this out.
No, and the NBA is continuing just to increase in popularity, and you're getting to see these stars and their personality. It's not super team anymore. It's just individual guys now. You can't really lose that momentum.
No, you can't. You just gained it all back. I mean, you just can't do it. It's official. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray will miss the rest of the season with a torn ACL. Went down early in that loss to the Patriots. And what does this all mean for Cliff Kingsbury going forward? Where does that put him overall? I don't know. But you hate to see it, because this is the kind of injury that's going to go into next season as well. Final one for you today. Celtics win a crazy one in overtime. They were up by 20. Lakers came all the way back, got up by 10 with like 3 minutes left. Then Boston comes all the way back, forces overtime. And Reggie Miller said it 560,000 times that the Lakers were tired. Well, then stop shooting threes. Stop shooting threes. You don't have the legs. And that'll do it for us. 29 minutes after the hour, Angel, good luck to you, my friend. And I'll look forward to getting back on with you guys tomorrow.
Should be fun.
Should be a lot of fun. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Minutes past the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Hall Show here on 1310 KFKA. Brady has stepped out for the afternoon. Him, Tanner, and Brian are going to go down doing science fair judging. That sounds really exciting. I remember doing science fairs in middle and high school and trying to figure out what kind of project you wanted to do. The classic, you know, paper mache volcanoes or something to do with magnets, all kind of fun stuff. So they're going to be getting their science on. So that means you're left with me for the rest of the afternoon. Of course, myself, Angel Padilla, the producer here for Brady, as well as with Good Morning NoCo. And I'm excited. It's a great opportunity to practice on the radio, talking sports talk, trying to live out the dream. And I love how Eastside Chris put it on the text line. You know what happens when the substitute teacher comes in? The hooligans go crazy. And that's what we're going to do. And the teacher is away. We're going to have some fun. You can get at me at the text line, 888-530-0043. Give me your sports thoughts. What are you looking at? It's a Wednesday midweek. What games are you looking at for the weekend? I know we have a lot more NFL action coming up, NBA. Bowl season starts for college football. So exciting time as we start to wind down the football season and head into full-fledged basketball season. So starting off here, I wanted to play back an interview that Brady did on Monday with Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos insider. He was there. He follows the team very closely. He's at their practices and such. I want to break down that interview, just kind of recapping the Broncos' loss to the Chiefs. Tough one on a comeback effort that fell short. Saw glimpses of Russell Wilson, of the old Russell Wilson. And then obviously he gets hurt, gets the concussion. His status is still up in the air. He has to work through the entire concussion protocol that the NFL has put in place. Obviously, that had some mid-season modifications as well with the whole Tua situation. So he's got to clear the five stages of the protocol to get active again. So we'll see what happens there. Most likely going to see Colt McCoy and Brett Rypien as the quarterback matchup for this game, Broncos-Cardinals. That should be a lot of fun. But first, let's hear what Brady and Zach talked about on Monday, discussing the Broncos' loss to the Chiefs.
Zach Stevens joining me now of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. Zach, all right, we'll get in. I want to unpack what happened from the game yesterday and talk about Russell Wilson going forward this week. But is that enough to get us at least having the conversation of Nathaniel Hackett year two?
Brady, that is the juiciest question you could have asked, and you started off with it. I love it. And you know what? Just yesterday, no, that's not enough. But I did see enough from yesterday where if he's able and the team's able to do something similar in the final four games, a.k.a. be competitive with the Chiefs in Kansas City, be competitive with the Chargers in that final game of the season when the Chargers will likely be playing for the playoffs, and then beat both the Rams and the Cardinals, then Brady, yes, I think we are talking about a path for Nathaniel Hackett to be back next year.
Well, Zach, what if you see something similar in the next four games where, you know, maybe the Broncos lose like in the 30s to the high 20s each game here, but you're seeing the offense go, but they're all losses. Is there still are we looking at wins and losses now? Or are we going to take each game and go, all right, offense got going. Is that a possibility, even if they lose all four?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you can't just be looking at wins and losses, because if the Broncos are winning 13-10 in two of the next four games, and let's assume that it's against the Rams and the Cardinals, well, Nathaniel Hackett and his offense that you brought him here for didn't really do it, so there is more context to that. And so, Brady, I think the key is not only what I said about, you know, winning two of the next four and being competitive in the other two, but I think another key part of that is going to be if you score 24 points or more in all of those games, and then it's Nathaniel Hackett's offense and Nathaniel Hackett's blueprint on this team, that's driving them. I think that is the case. So certainly it's going to have to be the offense that picks it up. And look, it's crazy to say that the Broncos are going to be able to score 24 points or more in these next four games because they've only done it once, and that was yesterday.
Well, and Zach, something I was talking about to start the show is, okay, I go back to the Drew Lock year, the rookie year, when he got those last, what, four or five games. They won four out of five, yep. Four out of five, I think. And Drew Lock was showing a nice spark, and I think Broncos country said, we found our quarterback. Well, what happens? You move on from Scangarello and you bring Pat Shurmur in. So that's where my brain's kind of going. What if you see some momentum here, just like you saw with Drew Lock? You don't want to make the same mistake twice and say, okay, well, now we're just going to scrap everything, and then that shuts it all down. Now, again, the body of work, it doesn't back it up. I know this is fresh in our mind, but there's a part of my brain that just keeps going back to, okay, Hackett's not making the same mistakes, and if he and Kubiak and Russell Wilson can really just get together this offseason and try to make this thing work, there's maybe, who knows? It's weird that we're even there today, though.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's a refreshing place to be because it's a different conversation, at least, which is nice since it's been the same conversation for pretty much the first 13 weeks of the season. But, Brady, I'm there with you. You hired a rookie head coach. You should have expected some growing pains. Now, no one could have envisioned that it was going to be this bad. Of course not. But if that rookie coach starts figuring it out in the final month of the season, would you just move on from him right away? Let's put this in quarterback terms. You draft a rookie quarterback. He really struggles in the first 13 weeks of the season. But as a rookie, a talented guy that you believed in, he then turns it on that final month of the season. You probably say, you know, I saw enough from him. Let's keep this thing together for one more season and go along. And Brady, I think there's kind of another added twist to this here. George Payton, the Broncos don't want to move on from him. But let's say the Broncos move on from Nathaniel Hackett, keep George Payton. George Payton makes another coaching hire. That doesn't go well next year. Well, then you're moving on from George Payton, and then you're probably also moving on from that first-year head coach that you hired next year, because then you want to bring a new GM in and allow him to hire his head coach. So you really do want to give – the Broncos do want to give the benefit of the doubt to Nathaniel Hackett, but that doesn't mean that change wouldn't happen. Likely you're going to see Evero, if in this situation where Hackett stays. Hackett's obviously going to stay the head coach. Evero's going to stay the defensive coordinator. But then you're going to make a lot of changes, and you're going to force Nathaniel Hackett to make a lot of changes on the offensive staff, maybe starting with Justin Outten as offensive coordinator, but certainly you're going to be looking at other position coaches and saying, we need to change things, because the Broncos will be making changes. Just how high up will it go? I think this next month will determine that.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, joining us. How much of the decision is still all George Payton's? I mean, if the Walton Penner group says, hey, we're not firing you, George, so you're still 100% in control of coaching decisions and personnel here. If that is being said, does George Payton then say, yeah, I'm sticking with my guy?
Yeah, and I don't think that's being said. And I think that's a good point that you bring up, George, Brady, is I don't think it 3-10, George Payton should be on the hot seat. And I say that because everyone in that organization that's on the football side of things should be on the hot seat, from players to coaches to general managers to scouts. The Broncos are incredibly disappointing this year. So everyone should be on the hot seat. That doesn't mean that everyone should be fired. But when you're on the hot seat, you don't get 100% control of what's going on. And so the Penners, if they do hire a new head coach and they keep George Payton would obviously be involved in the interviews, obviously have a say. They would lean on him a lot because he's the football guy. And the Walton Penner group is business people. They're not football people. So they would rely on him for that. But they would have the final say. They would have a lot of say in this. It wouldn't just be, George, go take our private jet, go interview as many people as you want, come back, and we'll hire your guy. No, George has not earned that from this group yet. Because remember, this group took over in August. Brady, what's happened since? The Broncos gave out what looks to be a really bad extension to Russell Wilson, and then they're 3-10 on the field. So you kind of have to step away from who people think George Payton is and just look at what does this ownership group think.
Yeah, boy, it's a convoluted mess, isn't it? That's what happens, I suppose, when you make these hires and then a new ownership group comes in, and it's just kind of this mixed assortment of personalities and visions going forward. So you're right, Zach, you're right on it. These last four games we still need. Yesterday was kind of nice, but still need more of a sample size, I guess, to see what maybe this could be. Are they going to be doing it with Russell Wilson as soon as the Arizona game? Does he sit out potentially with the concussion for at least a week? And then do you consider, if he's the long-term plan, which financially would tell you that he has to be, do you consider shutting him down for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you know, Brady, I think that's a conversation that should be happening, but I don't think that's one that's actually going to come to fruition, because I think if Russell Wilson is healthy, Nathaniel Hackett, we just talked about it, he's fighting for his job. So he's going to want Russell Wilson out there. George Payton, potentially fighting for his job, he's going to want Russell Wilson out there. And Russell Wilson himself is the ultimate competitor. He's missed one game already this season, but that was an anomaly. He missed three games last year. Those were the first games he's ever missed in his NFL career. He is extremely tough. And last night, he proved it. He was willing to do whatever he could, including diving headfirst in what turned out to be a very scary situation. And then Brady, right after, I don't know if the TV copy showed this, he tried to get back in the huddle before even going to the sideline, because he said, no, I want to stay in the game. I want to play. Obviously, the medical staff took him off the field. So I just think if he passes the concussion protocol, he will play. And right now, the concussion protocol is a day-by-day thing. We'll start seeing some progress potentially on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But one thing that won't happen is Russ will not practice this entire – or he won't practice a full week this week, even if he does pass through. We'll probably know Friday or Saturday if he's passed through the concussion protocol. But that means Brett Rypien is going to get a lot of reps as a starting quarterback this week.
Certainly a scary moment for Russell Wilson, but Zach, also a moment where – a lot of Broncos fans, a lot of media members like us, we all kind of went, that you don't want anybody to get hurt. You don't want anybody to get severely hurt, obviously. But that was a moment there where you said, that was Russ. That was the guy.
Yep.
That was the one
yep.
we signed up for. And there was the fight. He's throwing defenders off of him. He's diving forward, trying to get a touchdown. There was real raw emotion and drive to try to win a game. Fans really needed to see that.
Fans, but also players and teammates, Brady. And you heard it after. They guys on offense, on defense, they really showed their support and appreciation for Russ doing everything he could. And then on top of that, Brady, you said this is the Russ the Broncos signed up for. He led the league. He led the Broncos in rushing yesterday, and it wasn't even close. Had over 50 rushing yards. Now, that's probably not the formula for long-term success, but you got to throw long-term success out the window right now. You got to just play good right now. Focus on this year, next year, the next couple of years. And that's what Russell Wilson does. On two of the Broncos' four touchdown drives, Russell Wilson had a big run in each of them. And so that just shows that's one of the things that the Broncos offense was able to do to get going. And that's something that just showed that Russ is still able to do that. And you know what? Over these past probably 2 weeks or so, I've seen Russ move a lot better, and that's the Russ that the Broncos signed up for, just like you said.
Zach, Jerry Jeudy was obviously emotional when the offense was struggling, and then he was emotional once he got going. There were some play calls, though, that I said, wow, this is an offense that's utilizing their receiver skill set. Get him out. If you see that he's in single coverage, you use that speed to get open, and he did. What's that like today, or what was it like in that locker room with Jerry Jeudy, knowing he was so clearly upset at first and then, you know, pumped up on the other side of it? What was that like?
Yeah, I think you got to give so much credit to Nathaniel Hackett, something that probably Broncos fans don't really want to do too much of, but you got to give Nathaniel Hackett credit because, one, when Cortland Sutton was ruled out of the game, the Broncos changed Jerry Jeudy's position to take over that spot. So he kind of played a new position this year, and boy, did that fit his strength. It took a while for them to find out that that's where he belongs, but that is where Jerry Jeudy needs to be. That's the role he needs to have. And then the second part, you mentioned it. Jerry Jeudy could have been ejected from the game because he ran into official pretty clearly. The officials were nice of not just ejecting him right there. But Nathaniel Hackett talked to him on the sideline, calmed him down, and that was before he had any touchdowns. And then what happens? Hackett calmed him down, and then Jerry goes out, not one, not two, but three touchdowns on the day, potentially a breakout game. Coming into this game, Jerry Jeudy had three touchdowns on the season. He doubled that in one game. Jerry Jeudy should be the Broncos' number one receiver the rest of the season, just to see if that's a role that he can embrace and take on, despite if Cortland Sutton plays or not. Jerry Jeudy is the guy for the Broncos, and you know what? Coming into this game, I said that one of the Broncos' biggest focuses in the offseason needs to be, one, building up the offensive line, and two, getting Russell Wilson a playmaker. Boy, would it be great if Jerry Jeudy is that in-house already.
Thank you there to Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos insider, talking with Brady Hull. That was back on Monday after the Broncos lost to the Chiefs. So there's some other, you know, news and notes concerning this team, concerning this organization, as they, you know, you're officially eliminated from the playoff contention. You're not really playing for anything else other than pride, I guess. But the Broncos, interesting fact about them against the Cardinals, Denver is 9-1-1 against Arizona. So you have this team's number. A team, obviously, that's, you know, coming off a loss. They're also, you know, on the outs of the playoff picture right now. And they lose Kyler Murray, their starting quarterback for the year, possibly, you know, even into next year with the ACL injury. You just hate to see that for a guy like Kyler. Some other news here. Jerry Jeudy, he will not be suspended by the NFL. You heard Zach say it. You know, he had run into a ref. He had taken his helmet off on the field. He will be getting fined for those two incidents, but he won't be suspended against the Cardinals upcoming. Broncos, of course, get back to practice today down at Dove Valley. Russell Wilson will not participate as he continues to make his way through concussion protocol, but it looks like Nathaniel Hackett saying he will be involved in the meetings throughout the week. Obviously, Brett Rypien would be starting if Russ can't go. Kind of a good sign here. Randy Gregory will start the clock to come off of IR. Hackett hoping that he can play this week. That's huge to get a guy like Gregory back, as you know, you're not really playing for much at the end of the season right now. But it's good to get, you know, good reps on tape, good stuff on film, as you try to work and see who are the guys that are going to be a part of this team going into next year, as they try to, you know, get this organization turned around and right back to it. Other injuries that we just found out today: Cortland Sutton and Kendall Hilton will not practice today with hamstring injuries. So it looks like Jerry Jeudy is going to just continue to fill in as that number one wide receiver spot. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of questions with this team. You know, is it Hackett's fault? Is it Russ's fault? Is it Peyton's fault, because he's the one that brought both of them here? Is this the organization just in a bad place right now? Or did you get all your good karma out with Peyton and, you know, John Elway, and you won your Super Bowls, and now you're just like everyone else in terms of, you know, success rate? Good question here from Eastside Chris. Angel, do we sit Russ for the rest of the season? You heard Brady and Zach talk about that. It's a very fair question right now. You know, he obviously is coming off the concussion, most likely won't play against Arizona with nothing else to play for the rest of the way. Do you, you know, put him back out there, or do you sit him down for the rest of the year, let him get healthy? You know, he's been battling injuries all year with, you know, the shoulder and the hamstring earlier this year. So do you just, you know, take your losses, bite the bullet, and just sit Russ for the rest of the season? Or do you let him play out? Do you try to build up some of that momentum that you had against the Chiefs for that, you know, middle part of the game into the fourth quarter? It kind of felt like it was clicking. Something was working. I don't know if it was the play calls, if it was Russ just kind of improvising or doing his own thing. But for whatever reason, the Broncos started to figure out, and they scored more than 16 points, which is amazing for them. 28 in that one against the Chiefs. So just a lot of questions about it. Broncos fans, I want to know what's your excitement level at for the rest of the season? Obviously, there were so many expectations about what this team would be, what the potential of this team could be with Russell Wilson at the helm at quarterback. And obviously, with a rookie head coach, you don't really realize it, how tough of a job it is as a head coach in the NFL, you know, as a rookie, as your first time doing this, not even, you know, doing it somewhere else. And then you went down to a coordinator position, then back up to head coach. Nathaniel just starting, you know, from the bottom up. And you see the challenges of it. If it's not play calling, it's getting the plays in on time. He had to bring in Jerry Rosberg to kind of help him figure out the situational part of it. And then eventually that didn't really pan out, so you had to give the play calling duties to someone else and let Hackett just kind of be the coach out there. You know, what's the excitement level? What can you salvage out of this season that would make you feel good or make you feel positive going into the offseason where there's still going to be a ton of questions? You know, is Hackett's job still on the line? Did he save himself with that comeback effort against the Chiefs? It's hard to say right now. The Broncos are just in a flux of confusion and, you know, distress and despair. But, you know, this is part of the NFL. It's an adversity league. Everyone faces adversity in some kind of way. The Broncos are just getting, you know, the hardest part of that adversity train this season. So we'll see if they can't turn it around here against Arizona. Could be a kind of a get-right game for the Broncos. 12:53 the time. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and wrap up this second hour of the whole show. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA and 103.1 FM.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Well, 57 the time. Welcome back into The Whole Show. Brady is out for the afternoon, so I will be filling in for the next hour until 2 o'clock. Angel Padilla, of course, here with you guys listening on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. In this next hour, Brady interviewed Coach Ed Lamb yesterday, the new UNC football head coach. Got to break down his philosophy, some of the what's going on with him right now as he heads into the offseason, obviously in a period of transition from a new school, but also getting your family moved over, also trying to get recruits, all kinds of stuff. We'll break into that. Nuggets back in action as well tonight against the Wizards. And then we'll look at the local hoops in terms of college hoops, CU, CSU, and UNC, all here on The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.